Jeff always told people he was doing it for his family. The long hours, the late nights, 3 weeks out of town each month. It's all for them, he'd say. Jeff grew up seeing his dad scramble to pay the bills, and he'd promised himself he'd never let his family be around that sort of anxiety. He wanted to give his family every opportunity, a great house, the best schools, great summer camps, and he did give his family all that. When he missed his son's soccer game or his daughter's piano recital, he'd promised next time, next time. When Jeff eventually got a promotion that would allow him to be home with his family every night, he breathed a giant sigh of relief. But when he sat around the dinner table with his family, week after week, the strangest thing happened. It was quiet. It was like Jeff's family didn't know how to be with him day in and day out. And that's because they really didn't know. Jeff had built a house that was full of everything he wanted to give his family. Everything except a husband for his wife and a father for his children. Jeff later told me, "I was so busy trying to give them everything that I never had that I forgot that what they really wanted was me. I forgot the why." So many of us start out with good intentions, don't we? But over time, we can lose sight of why we started in the first place. That's why we need to keep coming back to the questions again and again. Why am I doing this? Why am I pursuing this dream? Why am I on this path? Because when we forget why, even the best intentions can build a home with no father in it, or can build a temple where God is not present. And that's exactly what we read about today. There was a time when Bethel was a place where heaven touched earth. You may remember from Genesis that Jacob was running scared from his brother Esau, and he stopped for the night, and he could only find for a pillow a stone, so he slept there. And as he slept, Jacob dreamed he had a vision of a ladder reaching from heaven to earth, and he saw angels ascending and descending on this ladder. And then God stood beside him and said, "All the families of the earth will be blessed by you and your descendants." And when he awoke, Jacob said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." And Jacob named that place where that stone was Bethel, or Beth-El, meaning house of God. And for centuries, this was a holy place for the Hebrew people. But over time, things slowly changed. Israel fractured into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and the kings of the north set up their own places of worship. They created, of all things, golden calves, and they put them at Bethel. And in the northern kingdom, there was more and more corruption, and there was less and less concern for God's people. And Bethel, once the place where Jacob had had this glorious vision of angels ascending and descending, became a place of nationalistic religion that propped up power, that rubber-stamped corruption, that let the wealthy trample the poor. Bethel still looked impressive. The priests offered their sacrifices and they sang their hymns. But they'd long forgotten this dream of a ladder reaching to heaven. They'd long forgotten this command from God: all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. Bethel had become a place that wasn't about blessing others, but that was about bolstering the power of an unjust king. The problem is the people had forgotten why Bethel was built in the first place. They stopped asking why. And for us, the same thing can happen if we stop asking why. Even the most sacred places, even the most good places, can lose their purpose. In the passage we just read this morning from the Old Testament, God tells Amos to go to Bethel and to speak the truth. God gives Amos a vision in which God is holding a plumb line and God says, "Amos, what do you see?" And Amos says, "A plumb line. Good job, Amos." But God says in response, "See, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel." In other words, God was measuring them to see if their lives, if their society still lined up with God's purpose. And they didn't. They were out of line. They were too busy going to the temple and offering sacrifices and singing hymns and keeping up appearances to notice how far they had drifted from their original purpose. They no longer asked, "Why are we doing this?" Origen, one of the great Christian theologians writing in the third century, said, "We ought always to examine whether our soul has preserved the order which it received from God, or whether it has turned aside from the straight path." We ought always to examine. It's not just about starting well, it's not just about good intentions, but about returning again and again to the question of why. Why we started out in the first place? Are we still aligning with God's plumb line? The truth is, Bethel can be anywhere where we begin with the best of intentions, but eventually stopped asking why, eventually stopped considering our own actions. For example, for those of us who are parents, our concern for our children can become a Bethel. We want to keep them safe, but sometimes the desire to protect them turns into a prison where they're never allowed to take risks or stretch or grow. For others of us, even our deepest convictions, things like our love of our country or our faith and our love of the church, those can become Bethels too. They begin with holy or beautiful dreams, a nation built on liberty and justice for all, or a religion founded on the idea of love of God and love of neighbor. But in our country over time, I see people begin to feel disdain for those who have different expectations for this nation. Or even in the church, we get angry at people whose theologies differ from our own. We forget Jesus' simple instruction, love God, love your neighbor. In the gospel passage we heard today, Jesus told the story of a priest, a Levite, a Samaritan, and a battered man in a ditch. We call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's worth remembering who these people were. The priest was a religious leader in the community, like a priest or a bishop today. The Levite, he worked in the temple, assisting the priests. He made sure worship could happen. The Levite, in other words, was Pam Searcy, Tim Toller, and the Sanctuary Guild all rolled into one. Now, you've got to believe that at first, this priest and this Levite, these men felt devout callings. They felt a calling to their vocation. They probably dreamed of serving, of helping people, of bringing people to God. But somewhere along the way, they forgot why they were doing this in the first place. It probably started so small that they didn't even notice. But over time, their holy vocations turned into just another job. Stay ritually clean, stay busy with temple work, don't get tangled up in other people's messy business. So by the time the priest and the Levite were walking down that road and saw this man stripped, beaten, and left for dead, their priorities had quietly and slowly changed. They'd forgotten why. And then along comes a Samaritan, despised, looked down on, and it's the Samaritan who comes to the aid of this battered man. And maybe one of the lessons tucked inside this shocking and scandalous story is that when we stop asking why, we'll start looking a lot like that priest and that Levite. But when we remember our purpose, when we remember our original intent, when we remember what this was all for, to love God and our neighbor, to bless all the families of the earth, then we'll start to look a lot like this Samaritan, this good Samaritan. There's a movie from the 90s called Hook. Did anyone see that movie? Robin Williams, who, by the way, was an Episcopalian, plays Peter Pan in that movie. He was an Episcopalian. But in this movie, he's not really Peter Pan anymore. He's grown up. He's become a lawyer, a distant husband, an absent dad. He's so focused on his own importance that he's forgotten the magic of who he really was. He's become everything he never wanted to be. He misses his son's baseball games. He forgets promises. He snaps back at his kids when they interrupt him when he's on his cell phone. And in the movie, Captain Hook kidnaps Peter Pan's kids and he hauls them off to Neverland. And what does Peter do? He does absolutely nothing at first. He's forgotten that he has the magical power of flight. He's forgotten that he has powers to rescue his children. So Wendy, played by Maggie Smith, eventually looks him in the eye with tears streaming down her face and says, "Peter, have you forgotten who you are?" He had. He'd lost the joy. He'd lost the wonder. He'd lost his whole reason for being. Peter eventually gets to Neverland, and he realizes he must learn to fly to defeat Captain Hook and to rescue his children. And to fly, he must have one happy thought, but he can't think of any until he eventually remembers holding his son for the first time, how small his son was, how he knew he would do anything for his son. That was his happy thought. That was his why. And with that thought, he soars and he defeats Captain Hook and rescues his children. But the whole movie is about Peter remembering who he truly is, remembering the reason for his life, remembering why. And don't we all face this same risk that we get spiritual amnesia? We forget why we've made the choices and commitments we've made. Maybe we even forget who we are or whose we are. So let this be a moment, or find a moment this week to pause and ask yourself, why? Why do I go to church? Why do I say grace before meals? Why do I call myself a Christian? Because there's a real danger of just going through the actions, turning holy habits into empty rituals. Or there's a danger of doing good things so that others will see us and be impressed by us, so that we can wear our virtue like a badge. That's the reason we have to keep coming back to why. Why am I doing this? Is it about love of God? Is it about blessing all the families of the earth? So don't forget the magic. Don't forget the joy. Don't forget whatever happy thought made you first soar. But even if you have forgotten why, the good news is God has not. God has never forgotten why. God created this world out of love, and God has loved you ever since. And as we say each Sunday, in the fullness of time, God sent his only son, Jesus. Jesus, the true Samaritan, who found us when we were in the ditch, who bound up our wounds, who carries us back to the Father's house and says, "See, these are my brothers and sisters. I've brought them home." So remember. Remember who you are. Remember why you said yes to faith, to church, to follow Jesus. Don't lose the happy thought, the joyful decision that first caused you to soar. And then watch as your neighborhoods, as your workplaces, as your families become places where heaven itself touches earth. Watch as they become the true house of God, the true Bethel. Amen.